right, all right. Chatty group in here this morning. I love it. I love the chattiness of you guys. It's great. Somebody over here in this corner is really loud talking. I can't see who it is. How's everybody doing this morning? One person is good after that nice worship service. One person. How's everybody doing this morning? Welcome again to Grace Covenant Church. I am the J.J. Sly and the other half of the campus pastors here. I'm glad you chose to be here this morning. It's an honor and a privilege to stand before you. It's an exciting day. We get to start a new sermon series as we just finished our last sermon series, The Life You've Always Wanted. Last week we got to celebrate Easter, right? We celebrated the resurrection of our risen Savior. Amen. He rose from the grave to pay the penalty for our sins, right? And when he did that, before he left, he told his disciples he was leaving, but he said he would return. He did return. We celebrated it last week. And what we get to learn about this time, Jesus left again, but he promised us again that he would give us something. So when Jesus left the second time, he promised he would give us the Holy Spirit to help us. So we're starting a new sermon series entitled, It's Better This Way, and we're going to be learning about the Holy Spirit and all the characteristics and attributes and gifts that it gives us as believers of Christ. The Holy Spirit is an acting person in the Trinity of God. Here's a little slide just to show you what the Trinity is. The Trinity is made of three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all God. I know. That's a lot to wrap your head around this early in the morning, but it's true. The Bible tells it to us, and we believe it, and we're going to go through His Word today and see if we can gain some revelation and some understanding of what this means for us as people. You don't have to be a Christian for a certain amount of years to have access to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't a charismatic Christian thing that only certain people can have access to. Every single person that's in relationship with Jesus has access to this Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And today, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to John chapter 16, we're going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to dive right in to what the Holy Spirit is for us. John chapter 16, beginning to read with verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of its righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. And I've got a title for this morning's message. It is The Holy Spirit, Why, Who, and What. I'm going to make 3 points. We're going to answer 3 questions, why he came, who he is, and what he does. And we're going to highlight John chapter 16, verse 7 in our text. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Can you bow your heads with me as we pray for the preaching and teaching of God's Word? God, I just thank you that you sent your Word to us. You sent your Word to us to train us, to teach us, to help us, to be a guide for us. God, I pray that each one of us that are hearing your word today will be changed in a new way, that we will receive from you, that we will gain knowledge of you, that we will grow closer to you, and if it's your will, God, that we will start a relationship with you if we don't know you yet. God, I just pray that you would just have your way in this service. May everything we do honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, why did he come? Why did the Holy Spirit come? Number one, He came because Jesus promised he would, and Jesus does not tell lies. He always tells truth. Jesus said, if I go away, I will send you an helper. But we all know life can get busy, right? Life's busy. For me, life is extremely busy. I've got three growing kids. They're all doing different things, always on the go, always going here, always going there. And I found an interesting story about a doctor that had just opened an office, and he felt really excited about it. And his secretary told him there was a man there to see him. And the young doctor said, go ahead and send him on in. And the doctor, pretending to be a super busy doctor, picked up the phone just as the man came in. He said, yes, that's right. The fee is $200. Yes, I'll expect to see you at 10 past 2, all right? No later. I'm a very busy man. He hung up and turned to the man waiting. He said, may I help you? No, said the man. I just came here to hook up your phone. Being busy is good, right? It means that we can get more done. And for many of us, it gives us a sense of achievement when we're super busy. But I think there are some difficulties that come with being busy. Some things we might miss. Some areas we might overlook. Have you ever stopped to think to yourself why Jesus was only on the earth for 33 years? Why was he only in the Middle East? Why didn't he travel wider and heal more people? To teach more people, to guide more people, to help more people? Let's put ourselves in his shoes for a moment. We're human beings just like he was when he was on this earth. Like us, he was only one man. Yet he was the Son of Man, fully divine and fully human, but he was still only one man. We ourselves may, in all the best intentions, want to help the world, but we are limited because of what one person can do. Can you imagine being one of his disciples, walking with him, seeing all the things he did, walking with the Son of God, listening to his marvelous teaching, seeing him healing people of diseases, seeing him heal people of leprosy? You have seen him give sight to someone who was born blind. You had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. You had seen him cast out demons. In one case, there was more than 2,000 demons in one man. You had witnessed him feed 4,000 people and then 5,000 people with just a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. But then he says in John chapter 16 to his disciples, I tell you, for it is for your own good that I go away. What? How is that for my good? All this good stuff you're doing around us, how is it for my good that you're going away? God, Jesus, we're so used to having you. Please stay, right? I can only imagine what was going through the disciples' minds. Really? You're leaving after all this good? But then he continued, the advocate will not come unless I go. The advocate I'm speaking of here is the Holy Spirit. That's why it was important for Jesus to go. There was a lot of work to be done. It can only be accomplished if he could be everywhere. Now, we know that a person can't be everywhere at all times, right? That's why he left. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That means that the Holy Spirit can be here at Spotswood High School, at Grace Covenant Church, East Campus. And the Holy Spirit's also over at Grace Covenant Church, Main Campus. And the Holy Spirit's also at the church down the street. The Holy Spirit's at a house down the street. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at all times. I know for Beck and I, we're always dividing and conquering. We're two people, dividing and conquering, trying to accomplish everything we can with our children, with ministry, and with our business. But we just can't do it all because we're people. That's why it was important for the Holy Spirit to come. The advocate is our friend, he's our confidant, he's our helper, our guide. We have access to the very heart of God through the Holy Spirit. He was sent to us so we could have constant contact with God, so we can be in constant communication with him. This statement probably creates another question in many of you. The Holy Spirit was sent to us so that we can be in constant contact with God himself. So that brings me to the next point, who he is. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a thing. It's not like the wind. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit has characteristics like a person. The Holy Spirit has many attributes like a person. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit has thoughts. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. So we learn here that the Spirit has thoughts. We see it right here in Scripture. He has thoughts about us. He gives us thoughts, and He has thoughts about the Father. Secondly, He has feelings. You notice I'm calling Him a person, not a he or an it. I'm not calling Him an it. I'm calling Him a He because He's a person. He has feelings. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has just identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. So the Spirit has feelings. And the Spirit has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have." So He's the giver of things. He has thoughts, He has feelings, and He has a will. He decides things for Himself from the heart of God. Intelligence, thoughts, feelings, a will, they're all qualities of a person. We should never refer to the Holy Spirit as a force, always as a person. We should never refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, always as a person. We should follow the Bible's lead by speaking of the Holy Spirit using pronouns such as He, just as Jesus does in Scripture. We see here that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force like the wind. Now we can see that the Holy Spirit is God. The very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. The darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. The word God in the Scripture is a Hebrew word, Elohim. The E-L in that makes it a plural form. Gods. One God, three persons. We see later in Genesis 1, chapter 26, the Bible says, "Let us make man in our own image." Let us make man in our own image. The Holy Spirit is God. This is an amazing truth if we can get a hold of the weight of it, that the Holy Spirit that we're offered is God Himself, living in us, empowering us, giving us hope, teaching us. This is the Holy Spirit I'm speaking of. It's God Himself that's living in us. There are over 30 verses in the Old Testament that refer to the Spirit as God. We don't have time to read them all, but you can search them out yourself. Just Google Old Testament scriptures Spirit of God. There's over 30 of them. The Holy Spirit is not a person, or is a person, not a force. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is also Jesus. I know, right? This is how you're feeling right now. This is how I was feeling when I was preparing this message, like, wow. How can we comprehend all of this stuff? How can we comprehend how big God is? Well, we can't, number one. That's why we feel like this. But God's thoughts and His ways are beyond ours. It's a mystery. Some things are left as a mystery for us to have faith. If He doesn't leave them as a mystery, where is our faith needed? How can one person be three different things? Simple answer. Because He's God. And He can do what He wants. But we're going to discover how Jesus is the Holy Spirit too. Let's take a look at Matthew 28, verse 18. To set a little context for the scripture, Jesus is speaking to his disciples after his resurrection, which we celebrated last week. This particular scripture is referred to as the Great Commission, okay? Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given you all authority in the heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of age. I would like to draw your attention to the very last scripture, verse 20, where it says, I am with you always. If Jesus left us, how is he with us? It's through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Back to the main scripture, verse 16, chapter 16, John 16, verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. He has to go away for the advocate to come. Jesus is going away, yet he will be with us always. This is because Jesus is the person of the Holy Spirit. We see several other accounts of Jesus being with us in Paul's letters. I don't have those up there, but I'll refer to them for you. In Galatians, Paul writes, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. Christ went away, sent the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in Christ. Ephesians, he writes, that Christ may take home in your hearts through faith. If Christ is taken home in our hearts, he's got to be the Holy Spirit. In Colossians, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit. We also know that Christ had to go away for the advocate to come. Again, it is Christ that is the Holy Spirit that is in us. So we learn here that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit in the form of God. The Holy Spirit is the Father in the form of God. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus, the Son, in the form of God. And now we get to learn about what he does. What does the Holy Spirit do? Number one, he fills us. In Acts 1, verse 4, the Word of God says, once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with him. It's similar to how we're baptized in water when we get saved. And if you haven't done that and you've recently started a relationship with Christ, I encourage you to do that. Find me. Talk to me about it. I would love to set that up for you and to get you baptized. But we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in water is an outward expression of what took place in the inside of our heart. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an inward filling of the Holy Spirit, a feeling so deep that when he fills us, it pours out of us and we can go out, just like the Great Commission tells us to do. Everyone in this room needs this. This isn't just for pastors or leaders or elders in the church. Everyone in this room needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an access point that we can go deeper, we can understand God better, we can have a better relationship with him, we can get to know him more. You might be longing to understand his word better. You might be longing to understand what I'm saying up here better. I'm longing for that too. That's why I love that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's through that filling that I gain better knowledge, easier understanding. It's almost like chemistry was probably one of my least favorite subjects. But you had to, in any subject you have to fill your head with the knowledge to understand it, right? You have to study it. You have to read the material over and over again to get it in your mind. The Holy Spirit does that for us. He fills us and opens our eyes, the scales come off, so we can see God in a deeper way. Being filled with the Holy Spirit allows us to be led in a more fruitful way. That nudge that we get, you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about when you get that nudge in your heart? Just that something in there that says yes, something in there says, that's probably not a good idea. That's the Holy Spirit. We all have a measure of that when we give our hearts to Christ. But when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's almost like a stomach cramp that nudges us. What else does he do? He gives us power. In Acts 1:8, the Bible says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and into the ends of the earth." We get power. We get understanding. We get counsel. He empowers us to overcome, to be more than a conqueror like the Bible tells us we can be. To be an overcomer like the Bible tells us we can be. It's through the Holy Spirit that we gain access to these characteristics, that we gain access to these big things that for our personal, natural mind are overwhelming. How in the world can I overcome this? How in the world can I be more than a conqueror in this situation? I don't feel like I can conquer anything. The Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us good thoughts so we can gain power and knowledge and be more than an overcomer. In my life, I have someone that I know without a doubt would be there for me, to support me, to celebrate me with me, to grieve with me, to cry with me, to sharpen me, to lift me up. I have a best friend in my wife. There's nothing that she wouldn't do for me, and there's nothing I wouldn't do for her. In the physical life, we need that person. We find safety in that person, right? We like having that person that we can depend on, that friend that we know will be there no matter what. The need for that is even greater in our life with Christ. We need that friend to be there with us when we find ourselves hopeless, when we don't understand something. We need this Holy Spirit to give us power to overcome. All of those things, the support, the celebration, the grieving, the sharpening, the exhortation, the Holy Spirit does all of these things for our spirits. He has been given to us to help us gain wisdom and knowledge. What else does he do? He convicts us. John 16:8, it's in our scripture references for the day. "And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." He convicts us. The world is a sinful place, and the one of the Holy Spirit's tasks is to convict us. No amount of preaching or pleading that I can do up here or pointing a finger will bring about the conviction of sin like the Holy Spirit does. When somebody's speaking up here or somebody's speaking to you in your personal life and you feel like you need to change something, that's not me or the person convicting you. It's the Holy Spirit showing you what needs to change in your life. Without the Holy Spirit convicting us, we would remain in bondage or in shackles, in chains. We would remain in jail. We would remain living in the lie that Satan has created in hopes that we stay in. Something happens when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life and begins to convict us of things. And he begins to examine us. And he begins to take us to a place of confrontation. It's at this point that those scales I spoke about earlier come off. When we're truly being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying, the scales are removed and you can see things in your life through a magnifying glass. Things that need to change in your life, you can see them clearly. For me, conviction is that moment that I feel unbalanced. I feel like if I go this way, I'll fall. If I go this way, I'll stumble. But if I change something, it brings balance to my life. We have all been raised to know right from wrong. I tell my kids all the time, no, that's not the right thing to do. We all have verbal cues from peers, from employers, from parents, from friends that tell us when they see something that we're doing that's not right. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us a verbal cue. He gives us that nudge on the inside like I spoke about earlier. We have to listen to our heart for conviction. We've heard the saying before, I had a gut feeling, right? I felt in my gut that I was supposed to do this. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit and the things of God. I felt in my gut this was the right thing to say. I felt in my gut that this was the right thing to pray. I felt in my gut that this area that in my life that I'm dealing with isn't right. I need to change that. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And at that point, the exciting part is when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we decide to act on that, we decide to say, okay, and repent and change our mind, He always replaces it with something better. Always. There's always better for us. He would never take us to a place and not create something better for us. Isn't this, we have to listen to our heart from conviction. Amen. That's where I am, sorry. Some of us have invited Jesus into our hearts. This is Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit. When we say, I gave my heart to the Lord, or Jesus is living in my heart, this is the Holy Spirit that's living in us. And lastly, what does He do? He guides us. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own, but He will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. You know, every summer, my family goes on vacation. We go to Myrtle Beach. My mother and father-in-law have a house there. And Beck and I have been going there ever since we got married. Every summer we go to Myrtle Beach. Made the trip over 20 times, probably 30 times. But every time I go, I use the GPS. Could I make the trip without it? Probably. I could probably make the trip without it. But there's something about having that GPS that helps me have security. Stop smiling. She's smiling, it's crazy. The GPS gives me warning of delays. It shows me different routes to avoid these said delays. It is better for me to use the GPS to even go the way that I know, right? The Holy Spirit is our GPS. He takes us down paths to avoid potholes. He might nudge you to take a left instead of go straight to avoid a stumbling block in the road. He gives you those nudges on the inside so you can avoid the bad things that the enemy, Satan, has on your path. He will guide you around every stumbling block. But we have to say yes to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. I love having the Holy Spirit as a GPS for my spiritual life. I couldn't imagine not living this life without it. It's so important for us to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts so we have access to all truth, just like the Bible tells us. He will guide us into all truth. He will guide us always. He always has your best interest at heart. He'll never lead you down a path of destruction. He'll never forsake you. The Bible says, Jesus says, He's always as close as the call of His name. That He won't forsake us. This is the Holy Spirit that He's speaking of. You may be in here today and this is all a little bit of gibberish. You don't understand what the Holy Spirit is because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. That can change today. You can start it today. That nudging that you're feeling, that butterfly in your stomach, or just that sensitivity or that emotion that you're feeling, that's the Holy Spirit nudging you. You may already have a relationship with Jesus, but you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. That can happen for you today as well. There are people that are here that'll stand with you and believe with you that you can have a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And number three, you may be here today and just want some prayer. We're here for you. We will agree with you. We will stand with you. We will believe with you for whatever you need. Bow your heads and let us pray. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you sent it to heal our disease, that you sent it to give us wisdom and knowledge of who you are. God, I pray that even right now that you're searching hearts. I pray your Holy Spirit is giving nudges to the people in this room that need a relationship with you. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledged me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. You know, this isn't a typical way that I close a service, but I just feel a nudging in my heart, the Holy Spirit today, that it's important that we acknowledge him in front of our family, our friends, people we don't know. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you want salvation today. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out in front of people here. It's just a way for you to acknowledge God in front of people like his word tells us to do. It tells us that if we acknowledge him, he will acknowledge us. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you want to start your relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And after you raise your hand, you can just put it right back down. But it's just that first step of acknowledging who God is in your life. So on the count of three, if you're here this morning and you're ready to acknowledge Jesus as your Savior, we're going to say a prayer in a moment, but if you're ready to acknowledge him, just lift your hands when I say three. One, two, three. I see those hands. Yes. Can y'all stand up with me? We're going to say a prayer together. As a congregation, we're going to agree together for these hands that were raised to receive a relationship with Jesus. Just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that your Son Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, and paid the penalty for my sins. I choose today to invite you in my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Can we give a God a hand clap for what he did in here today? Will y'all worship with us?